Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to another week of Catholic Answers Live. You know, I'm starting to see a pattern here. We're doing these great shows on Mondays and Fridays to try to like start the week great and end the week great. And we got another one this week. Trent Horn is our guest. Our question for both hours, why do you reject Catholic morality? If you're of a mind that maybe the Catholic Church should catch up with modern times, its moral teaching should be updated. We have two fantastic hours for you. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Why do you reject Catholic morality is our topic. 888-318-7884. Maybe Catholic teaching on war or the death penalty, on abortion or euthanasia, they don't quite mesh with where you think they should be. Or how about Catholic sexual teaching or Catholic teaching on economics and money? If you reject Catholic morality, we welcome your call, 888-318-7884. Trent Horn is a convert to the Catholic faith, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, and the author of, Persuasive Pro-Life, Answering Atheism, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties, and Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. Trent Horn, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be here, Si. I also have another book, actually.
Did it come out?
Just been published.
Oh!
Yes, it is available, at least what I saw on Amazon. It's been released. This book is published by Ignatius Press, and it's called The Case for Catholicism, Answers to Classic and Contemporary Protestant Objections. So this is a more rigorous treatment of the classic objections, as well as newer objections Protestants have leveled against the church. And I wanted it to be published, and it is being published around the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So it is now, I think, the most up-to-date comprehensive treatment of the differences between Catholics and Protestants. And I saw that it is available, but I think at least Amazon is out of stock, but Ignatius should still have some. And they're taking orders now for that book if our listeners have interest in that.
So the title one more time, Trent?
The Case for Catholicism, Answers to Classic and Contemporary Protestant Objections.
Man, you're just taking over the publishing world, because I know that Why We're Catholic is still doing very, very well. That's Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. And that's one that folks can buy in bulk here too, because it's meant to be really a very accessible book to be able to put in someone's hand and said, here, this is it. This is why we're Catholic. Yeah. And lots of people are doing that. I think you get 20 copies for $60. So $3 a copy, you take them. And I know you told me, or I heard you say somewhere about somebody, whenever they ride in an Uber, you have a supporter who takes it at the book and leaves it in the Uber for the next person. So they can pick up Why We're Catholic. So you can get that. Congratulations on the latest book. This hour, we're talking morality, Catholic moral teaching. Why do you reject Catholic moral teaching? 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. We were talking a little bit before. We did our pre-show on Facebook, and we were talking a little bit before, but I wanted to ask you a little more in detail about this, about the most common objections to Catholic morality. And I wondered, are the objections to Catholic sexual morals or teachings on human sexuality from a Catholic perspective? And you said in recent years, no, it hasn't been those, that the people have been more or maybe less.
What I meant was,
yeah, go ahead.
What I meant was in previous shows. I would say in general, if you were to ask people what moral teachings of the Catholic Church they have problems with, the teachings on sexuality are probably the highest ones there, because those are ones that are deal with intimate details of people's lives. They deal with desires and activities people have a strong yearning towards that they feel to be very important. And so if the church disagrees with them on this, they can take quite an affront. And I also think, frankly, the reason people get so worked up sometimes over these issues and the church's disagreement about it is because I think sometimes deep down, they can sense that maybe this is not the way they ought to be living. And the church sort of serves as kind of a reminder of that, like a kind of conscience. And it's easy to kind of lash out at the messenger for doing that. Otherwise, I just don't know why there would be so much anger. Why not just dismiss, you know, if the church teaches that, you know, fairies or unicorns exist, or if it taught that something innocuous was wrong, like playing hopscotch or playing basketball without a net. You would just say that this is just silly. You'd laugh about it.
Yeah.
But with these issues of human sexuality, people get much more emotionally invested. And I think it's a pushback against the truth that God has written into our very being that people recognize, and that even when people disobey God's law, it still follows them a little bit, and they don't like it when they're reminded of that.
888-318-7884, our number. Trent Horn is our guest for 2 hours today. We're going to be discussing why do you reject Catholic morality, if there's some aspect of Catholic morality that you reject, or if you reject the very idea that Catholic morality exists, that Catholics should have a say, or that there should be a concern with these things being taught to the whole world by the Catholic Church. We welcome your call, 888-318-7884. Lots of calls already. Trent, shall we try to get a call in before the first break?
Sure.
Danny in Pearville, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Trent Horn. Your question, please.
Hi, so my question is really about the Humanae Vitae that was written many years ago by Pope Paul. And my question really kind of stems from, it seems that it's very one-sided, very male-oriented, and I was wondering if there's been any update to it or the reasoning behind why it seems to be just very male-specific, in my opinion.
Danny, why do you think Humanae Vitae is male-specific?
Well, because to me, for sexuality between a husband and wife is for procreation, but it's also for enjoyment. So if it's based on the way Humanae Vitae is written, it's only for procreation. So for a mom like myself who has multiple children, I'm already at plus seven, it changes my outlook on the whole aspect, because I feel like I have been fruitful and I have multiplied. And so I guess I'm just questioning, for a mother that's already had, you know, as many children as I have, and the doctors are telling no more, then is sex now out of the question completely based on Humanae Vitae?
Okay, sure. Well, Humanae Vitae never says that sex is only for a procreative end. In fact, the encyclical and subsequent church documents make it very clear that marriage, the marital act, has two ends that cannot be separated from one another, the procreative and the unitive. They are for both. Now, to say that the sexual act must always have a procreative end, it doesn't follow it must always result in procreation. What Humanae Vitae taught and what the Catholic Church teaches is not that sex between a husband and wife must always result in procreation, but that the sexual act must not be sterilized. The husband and wife can't withhold their fertility from one another or have an incomplete union between one another. Because if a husband and wife come together in the marital act, they won't always conceive a child, because women have naturally fertile and infertile times in their cycles. And so what Pope Paul VI recommended, and Catholic ethicists have recommended for ages, is that men and women should take advantage of the natural cycles of fertility that exist in marriage that God has given us. And so if you have a reasonable, and the document even says in Humanae Vitae, it says you simply have to have a just reason to space children. So if you feel like you have had enough children, you've had enough you can care for, that would be a just reason to use different methods to space children by strategically refraining from sex during fertile periods, for example.
Danny?
Does that make sense, or?
It does. It makes complete sense.
Okay, great. And so what I would recommend is you can visit our website at Catholic.com. Or go online to search for natural family planning. It's something my wife and I use to space our family, so that every time we come together as husband and wife, it may not result in procreation, but it always results in the full, free total gift of ourselves to one another, and we don't have to introduce any fear or making sure some aspect of our bodies has to be sterilized for this act. And that's at the essence of what contraception is. And what the church teaches is that, no, the marital act is about the complete gift of self to one another that may or may not result in procreation. And because God has given us natural cycles of infertility in our marriages, and he's given us rational minds to detect this, we can use that to appropriately space children without contradicting the natural purpose of the marital act itself. So go to Catholic.com or search online for natural family planning, and I think that'll be helpful for you. So thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Danny. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live. Why do you reject Catholic morality is our topic today. 888-318-7884, the number. We'll see you in a minute.
Don't you just love listening to Trent Horn? Did you know you can book Trent or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hello, my friends. Chris Check here, president of Catholic Answers. It's October, the month of the Holy Rosary, and it's also the month Catholic Answers starts its winter sale at shop.catholic.com. We are offering great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. We have great new releases in church history, scripture, apologetics, spiritual formation, Bible prophecy, and lives of saints. In other words, something for everyone. What's more, our shop site has been completely redesigned. It's much easier to navigate and use. Indeed, you should visit shop.catholic.com just to see the new site. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 11:29, Jesus told the people that though their evil generation sought a sign, it would receive only the sign of Jonah. He noted that at the preaching of Jonah, the Ninevites repented. But there was something, meaning himself, greater than Jonah in their midst. But they were blind to him. While the Ninevites sinned, they repented because they were humbled. But these people were not humbled and saw no reason to repent. That's the way it is with pride. It turns people completely into themselves. How do we know that we are not filled with pride? Attempting to measure our humility only focuses us on ourselves all the more, but checking on how grateful we are turns our attention to the giver. Nothing humbles us more than recognizing the gift of our existence, and even more the gift of the Savior's blood that was shed for us. At such moments, we know that something greater than Jonah is in our midst. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn is our guest today. We are talking about Catholic morality. Why, specifically, if you reject Catholic morality, we'd like to know why do you reject Catholic morality? 888-318-7884, our number. And I will just let you know, most people who are listening are within range of our voices now will notice no difference, but some listeners will experience a change to our broadcast schedule today. Relevant Radio acquired Immaculate Heart Radio Network and had to make some difficult choices about programming lineup, and we're glad they chose to continue broadcasting the first hour of Catholic Answers Live. And we are thrilled, and I do mean thrilled, to welcome so many new stations that will air this program as a later rebroadcast. New stations to rebroadcast Catholic Answers Live are too numerous to list right now, but in Newark, in Philadelphia, Providence, Rhode Island, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Milwaukee, Twin Cities, and many more places. We are so grateful to get to be part of your broadcast day, and we thank Relevant Radio for that. You can always find us, if we're new to you, by visiting Catholic.com, because somebody years ago was really smart and registered Catholic.com as the web address for Catholic Answers Live. Again, Trent Horn, our guest this hour, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Lots of folks on the line to let us know why they reject Catholic morality. Let's go to John Paul in Oceanside, California, listening on Relevant Radio. John Paul, your question or comment for Trent Horn.
No, absolutely. I think that just, I'm looking, and by the way, I love your show, and you're really, I think it's excellent what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
My question is, the seven deadly sins, for instance, which the last one is gluttony, which I really think that's mispronounced. It should be gluttony. Stay away from gluten. It's no good for you. But each of the other six of the seven sins, to me, they really are just thought, and they're really laid out for people not to go to those thoughts. In other words, if we are what we think, and if we can control our thoughts, we can be just love. And that, in fact, that's really what it's all about, us really focusing our thoughts on love. And so that's my it's not a complaint. I just think that more Catholics should send the message of love inside themselves and outside themselves, just by focusing on that word on their own mind screen. In 17 seconds, Harvard says that that absolutely does manifest.
John Paul, you are not saying that you reject Catholic morality. You just, we focus too much on sin, maybe, and not enough on love. Is that your...
A little bit more.
Okay. Trent?
Well, I would say that scripture and tradition, what the church teaches, focuses on love all the time. I mean, Pope Benedict's first encyclical was Deus Caritas Est, God is love. So when you look at what love is, and if we define love properly, of course, is to will the good of another, really loving others and refraining from sin, it's not like they're two separate things. It's like they're two sides of the same coin, that if to will the good for others means to not will that which is not good for them. So if we refrain from sinning, that is one way of loving people. You know, if I love myself, I will do what is good for me, not what is bad for me. I won't do what is bad for others. And sometimes what is bad for others is not doing what is good for them, failing to give to the poor, failing to visit those who are in need. The same thing can be articulated in two different ways. Do good, avoid evil. It's looking at the same actions or inactions, just in different lights. So I think as long as we look at it in the right ways, both in a positive light to inspire us and a negative light to give us a kick in the pants when we're not doing the right thing, then we can have a balanced spiritual life. So it's really both here. So I hope that's a helpful answer, John Paul, and thank you very much for your insight.
Thank you, John Paul. We are talking Catholic morality, and specifically asking you, why do you reject Catholic morality today? 888-31-TRUTH, our number. We go now to Alexander in Miami, Florida. Alexander, why do you reject Catholic morality, Alexander?
Specifically asking you, why do you reject
morality? Hello?
Oh, Alexander, why do you reject Catholic morality?
Oh, it's not that I don't reject Catholic morality. It's just that I saw this video of YouTube about this teenage girl who was pregnant, and to be honest, at the end, and I didn't like the end, by the way, she did something that she could never do, that she felt like doing. And you know what that is?
What would that be?
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it's a teenage girl who was pregnant. And to be honest, it makes me feel like the option should be the A word, and I don't want it to be. And I'm struggling with this ethical issue in my head.
All right, Alexander, you're breaking up just a little bit, so I'm going to let Trent respond. But Alexander's expressing the idea that teenage girls may need recourse to abortion.
Yeah, and the question is, well, why? And I'm sure that the video that you saw and many other reasons people give, they usually frame it this way: this poor girl's life is over now, her life is ruined by becoming a teen mother. And I guess what I would say to that is her life is certainly going to be different. Her life has changed, but her life has not been ruin. The word ruin literally means to tear apart. What really does ruin someone's life is abortion. For mothers who choose abortion, it tears them apart physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And for children who are aborted, they're literally torn apart. Their lives literally are ruined. So I think what we have to remember is that this isn't just about abortion or, you know, a teen mom. It's the question, when I am in a difficult, awful position in life, am I going to endure evil and do what's right? Or am I going to take a shortcut to being happy again and do wrong? Because we're all in this. Something unexpected can happen and we feel like our life is over. My spouse has cheated on me, and then they've left me, my life is ruined. Or I got fired from work today. Or how about this? Here's an example. Somebody discovered I did something wrong at work, something really bad. And if it comes out and people find out I did this horrible thing at work, I'm going to get fired, lose my job, lose my home. I'm going to lose everything. But if I do something behind the scenes, somebody else will get the blame and they'll get fired and I'll be okay. I could do that, or I could take my punishment. So in that case, what should a person do? I think most people agree, no, you shouldn't hurt an innocent coworker just because you're in a difficult position. You just have to roll with the punches you're going to get, even though it's going to be very hard, because it's not fair to that person, your coworker, to hurt them because of something you've done. You have to accept the consequences of your actions. And so it's interesting that most people can get that when we put it in that kind of context. But when you introduce sex, pregnancy, and childbirth and children, people kind of want sex however they want according to their own rules, and they can't think as clearly. But it's the same thing. I've done something, and I feel like my life is over, but if I do this instead and hurt this other person, I can have my life back. And that's not what we should do. It's better, I think it was Socrates who said this, it's better to suffer evil than to it's better to suffer evil than to inflict it on others. That's the way we should live by.
Alexander.
So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you very much. Alexander is not currently with us, but I think we had his line dropped. But Alexander, thanks very, very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH, our number, Trent Horn, our guest. And the topic, why do you reject Catholic morality? Why do you reject Catholic morality? 888-318-7884 is the number. Trent, a follow-up to an earlier caller on Facebook. John asks, if the aim is to avoid pregnancy in a marriage, then and why is NFP better than any other method? Why does it matter what is used to avoid pregnancy?
Well, what matters is that just because you might have the same goal, it doesn't follow that you should use the same method. So let's say, for example, my goal is to save $1 million for my retirement. So one way I could do that is by putting away money at a certain amount every month that I've earned, or maybe I could fail to report certain taxes to the government and hide that money and put it away to my retirement. Someone might say, well, what does it matter which goal you do, which method, because you're just trying to get to $1 million. Well, what matters is you shouldn't steal. You shouldn't do something wrong to get to your goal. And that would be the same for not getting pregnant or not giving birth, for example. Let's say some people who are Catholic but sympathetic to contraception will say, well, what does it matter, NFP or contraception, if the goal is to not give birth to a child? Well, I'd say, well, if that's your goal, why not get an abortion? Well, that's different. Okay, so we see that even if the goal is to not have a child, there's going to be certain things that are off limits because they involve a moral wrong. And so NFP is a moral good. I mean, what NFP is, people think that it's something like a condom or a birth control pill, but it is a method. Because all NFP is practicing abstinence, abstaining from the marital act, and then just fully engaging in the marital act with nothing coming in between the husband and wife. So it's just the marital act or refraining from it. And both of those things are very good, so putting them together is going to be a good thing.
And it often involves the husband having to respect his wife in a way,
yes,
and her body in a way that encouraging the use of chemicals and whatnot doesn't respect her
That's
body.
That's right. Communication, and it's good for marriage.
We'll be right back with more Why Do You Reject Catholic Morality with Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
check out EW10's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a truly unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. In Scripture, Jesus answered his critics again and again by using their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, best-selling author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. From the Pharisees to the Nazis, from the Crusades to the Reformation, he presents a parade of skeptics, heretics, pagan powers, and rival sects, each taking a turn in the witness's chair and giving an unexpected but compelling account in favor of Christ. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000. Or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Right now we're having our annual winter sale. And when you go to our website at shop.catholic.com, everything is 20% off. But when you purchase either a single copy or a case of Trent's book, Why We're Catholic, in the online shop, we're going to add a copy of Trent's new CD, A Beginner's Guide to Defending the Faith. You get that absolutely free if you order Trent's book, or if you order, as we said, you can get a box of 20 of them for $60. All you need to do is order the book or the case of the books, and we send you the free CD with it. And remember, everything in the shop at shop.catholic.com, every bit of it is 20% off when you check out right now. Donald in I think in Los Angeles. Donald, are you in Los Angeles?
Hello.
Hi, Donald. You calling from Los Angeles?
No, this is Joe. Joe.
Well, Joe, I think you just won the phone lottery. What's your are you on to talk with Trent Horn about why you reject Catholic morality?
No. I guess it's a different one. But I was listening to it. This is about birth control.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
A Catholic. I don't reject Catholic morality, but I have a different view. That's why I'd like to speak with him on the radio about it.
Okay, you're on the air now, Joe. I'm sorry that I didn't make that clear. And Trent. So yes, we have several times people have had questions about, or maybe we're challenging the Catholic teaching on natural family planning and contraception. And Joe, what did you want to say about that?
Well, I just wanted to say that I understand the Catholics' point of view that against birth control and abortion. But what I believe is that countries where the children are starving to death and the parents are not going to refrain from, you know, sexual intercourse, I think it's worse that knowing those children will be born and 90% more likely starve to death than just as long as they're married, given birth control, you know, as long as they're married, of course. To me, it's worse to have a poor child starve to death.
So, Trent, let's take it there then. What about the argument that it's better to not have a child than to have a poor child, particularly an abjectly poor child?
Well, Joe, you made an interesting qualification. Would you be in favor of giving contraception to any couples that are sexually active, even the unmarried ones?
No, I wouldn't. No. I do believe in matrimony.
Well, what are the essential elements of marriage?
Well, to be married by the Catholic Church.
Okay. Well, if we look at this, is interesting because you understand that there's something we shouldn't do to alleviate extreme poverty or death by starvation, which would be giving contraceptives to unmarried people, because that violates what marriage is, because, you know, you shouldn't be having sex if you're not married. What I would say to that is that the same reasoning applies to married couples, that chastity isn't about simply waiting to have sex when you're married. Chastity is about understanding sex's proper purpose in marriage and outside of it. So that in marriage, what sex is for, what it is for in marriage, is for a husband and wife to become one flesh. You remember in the Bible where it says the two will become one flesh?
I do.
Okay. Well, what that means is that the man and woman, incomplete on their own, become something greater than what they were apart. And so what that means is what's greater than them apart is that when their bodies, when a man and woman who are married come together in the marital act, their bodies are ordered towards creating a new human life. That's why they're one. They're one towards that goal, that they're united. That's the unitive feature of their marriage, of the marital act, and that they have that procreative potential. And so in the marital act, in sexual intercourse, they fully give one another a free, total, faithful gift of self. That's the essence of marriage, what the church teaches. So when you add contraception in there, suddenly the two can't become one flesh. There is something, a barrier of latex, a hormone, that keeps them from being ordered towards this procreative end. And so that's why the church teaches that contraception is wrong, is because it violates this essential purpose of sexuality in marriage. Now, of course, unmarried people, they're ordered towards this procreative end as well, but they lack the confines, the vows of marriage that this should be placed in. So to summarize, if you agree we should not distort the meaning of marriage by giving birth control to unmarried people, I would say we should not distort the meaning of marriage by giving birth control to the married, but teach people how to practice things like natural family planning, how to space their children. In fact, in developing countries, people like the Missionaries of Charity have had great work teaching NFP to rural women because it's a free method. You don't have to buy pills or condoms. It's something you can use by watching your own body. It doesn't cost anything, which is helpful for people who are very, very poor in the countries you mentioned. So is that a helpful start?
Yes, it is. It is, because I wasn't aware that they would teach them or instruct them or inform them on the methods, which, you know, I wasn't aware of that, so that is very helpful.
Yeah, and so there are methods like the Creighton method especially, which have been used to great effect to help people who are illiterate and who are poor. And what's great is it doesn't have many of these negative physical and physiological effects, things like hormonal contraceptives can have when they've been, you know, distributed en masse in these countries. So thank you for the call.
Thanks very much, Joe. Our topic this hour: why do you reject Catholic morality? If there's some aspect of Catholic morality that you reject, or if Catholic morality in general strikes you as not worthy of your acceptance, give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. Trent Horn is our guest, and we go now to Walt in Melbourne, Pennsylvania, listening on the EWTN app. Walt, why do you reject Catholic morality?
I don't reject all of Catholic morality, nor do I reject most of Catholic morality. There's a recent statement by Pope Francis that seems contrary to Catholic morality regarding the death penalty. And I wanted to know how that can be explained, that the death penalty is always wrong, when in fact for thousands of years the Church has taught that it is justifiable in certain circumstances.
Yes, this is a comment Pope Francis made recently, I believe on the 25th anniversary or an upcoming anniversary of the Catechism, I think was the context, and was speaking about how the death penalty is, terms he used, I believe, were that it's per se contrary to the gospel. No matter how serious the crime, a person should not be deprived of life. And he was talking, and it seems in very stark terms, that the death penalty is something that ought never be practiced. So what does the church mean by this? Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that the death penalty is permissible in certain cases, that it is not always wrong, and that has been the teaching of the church for thousands of years, that it's permissible, though the Catechism itself includes a prudential judgment that many bishops have held to in recent years, that society should move away the death penalty, move away from the death penalty whenever possible. So really, what to make of what Pope Francis said? I mean, at the very worst end, the Pope would simply be in error on this, but because he's speaking off the cuff and not in an ex cathedra statement, it's not an infallible teaching. And so the Pope could err if he was making a pronouncement like this, and we would hope he would be open to correction in that matter. So the Pope's infallibility doesn't extend to this particular address you're referring to. That would be at the worst end. The most charitable interpretation of what Pope Francis would be saying would be that he's speaking in rhetorical flourishes about how bad the death penalty is, and he shouldn't necessarily be taken literally with how universal his scope is. He's just trying to underscore how much the church needs to move away from this, because in that same address, he does say things like the church should never depart from the sacred patrimony of truth received from the fathers. And Pope Francis is very adamant in that address that he's not changing church teaching in any way. So that would be the most charitable reading. I'd recommend, if you'd like a great write-up on this, the Catholic Herald is an online British publication. Catholic Herald, search for Ed Fazer, Pope Francis death penalty. He just published a article about this yesterday, and Fazer has written probably the best Catholic defense of the death penalty I've ever come across. And that kind of breaks down what the Pope has said and gives similar perspectives that I have. So is that a helpful start, Walt?
I guess so, yeah. I'm just concerned that politically this will be used for fodder for saying that somebody who is opposed to the death penalty, but in favor of abortion, there are moral equivalents now because the Pope says that the death penalty is contrary to the gospel. I can see that being used as a political ploy, and unfortunately, a lot of Catholics falling for it.
Yeah, I could see that as well, and I would just point people to the statement of recent popes like Pope Benedict XVI, who said that abortion is an intrinsic evil, but Catholics can reasonably disagree on the death penalty. But what's funny is when people bring that up, if they say, well, you're Catholic and you're against abortion, you need to be against the death penalty. You're inconsistent. Many of those critics are against the death penalty, and that's why they're kind of razzing us. But many of those critics who are against the death penalty are for abortion. So it's a double-edged sword. So, you know, I would say to them, wait, if you're against the death penalty, why aren't you also against abortion? And the tables can kind of be turned in that respect if someone tries to go down that route. So that's something else you might want to consider.
Walt, thank you very much. We got to head to a break. Trent Horn is our guest this hour. Why do you reject Catholic morality is our question of the hour. If you have are of the view that Catholic sexual teaching or Catholic economic teaching, Catholic teaching on war or the death penalty, abortion, euthanasia, any of these are not meeting your standards and therefore you reject them, we'd love to hear from you today. 888-318-7884, the number. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live with Trent Horn is coming right back.
I met my husband in my first year of college. We both came from strong Catholic families and wanted lots of children. After 3 years of marriage and still not pregnant, we felt our dream of a big family slipping away. My sister encouraged us to visit our local Catholic store and get a novena to St. Gerard. When we arrived, we were unsure about our need, but the staff was kind and helpful. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. They encouraged us to pray and trust in God's providence. One worker told us stories of other couples, just like us, who were desperate to start a family. 4 years and two children later, we have been back to that incredible Catholic store for baby, baptism, and toddler gifts. God bless the staff at that incredible Catholic store. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Why do you reject Catholic moral teaching? What is it about Catholic morality that you reject? We'd love to take your call if you do, in fact, reject Catholic moral teaching. 888-318-7884. We are well aware that Catholic moral teaching is often at odds with the more generally available moral teachings, sometimes called the moral teachings of the world. We'd be happy to discuss with you why, well, certainly why we prefer the teachings of the church to the teachings of the world. But if you do not, give us a call, 888-318-7884. If you do not, that is, accept Catholic moral teaching, please give us a call. Not do not give us a call. 888-318-7884, our number. Trent Horn, a staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of many, many books, including Why We Are Catholic. And Trent, I'm sorry I didn't write it down. The newest book, which is out either today or this weekend or just came out, is?
The Case for Catholicism, yeah. Answers to Classic and Contemporary Protestant Objections.
You know, I'm just going to say this. That's the book that I always hoped that Lee Strobel would write, but he never got around to it. Let's go to Anonymous, listening in an anonymous location. Anonymous, why do you reject Catholic moral teaching?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling. I don't reject Catholic moral teaching, of course, but I have a big problem as a developmental psychologist who's worked with adolescents and other people for years with the position on masturbation.
Okay. What's your difficulty?
It seems to take a pretty hard line against it. I'm certainly not in favor of pornography or any of that, but to me it's a reasonably natural function that occurs, and to feel guilt and immorality over this just seems wrong to me.
So, Anonymous, are you saying that masturbation or self-gratification is always right? There's nothing wrong with it?
Absolutely not. What I'm saying is that it occurs naturally in young males as they hit puberty. They can't really always control it. It occurs naturally, and there are times, even when you're in a relationship, why that might be somewhat necessary, especially if you're not in a committed relationship, as in a marriage, where that might be preferable to what...
Okay.
Well, Anonymous, I'm trying to figure out what you believe about this so you can see what the church teaches, because what the church teaches is that our sexual abilities, our sexual powers, if you will, are a sacred, wonderful thing, and that they shouldn't be misused. And so to use our sexuality properly, we always have to keep in mind sex is for, well, it's for marriage. That's why we call it the marital act. But sex has the essential purpose of unifying the spouses. Sex unifies a man and woman, makes them one flesh. And it's ordered towards a procreative end. So it's faithful and it's fruitful. That's the essential goal of sexuality. The church is against masturbation or says masturbation is wrong because it takes sex away from the goals of being faithful and fruitful to saying sex is just about pleasure. It's just about feeling good or reducing internal tension. And that reduces sex to a mere bodily act and takes away all of its sacredness, essentially. And it can lead to other difficulties, such as those who engage in compulsive masturbation. They can view other people as objects who only exist to satisfy their lusts, essentially. So I guess, Anonymous, I want to really understand your position. When, because you said it's not like you said it's not, it isn't always right. Under what circumstances would self-gratification be wrong for someone to engage in?
When you're using it as a substitute for an actual relationship, when you're in one and you are consummating it. What if a couple, a married couple, are separated for long periods of time? There is an internal buildup, and I think it's denial to say that there isn't. You don't have to be fantasizing about someone else and objectifying someone else, but you may need a release. And I think that it's not an inappropriate release if you're doing it under the right circumstances. I also think that it occurs with young adolescent males fairly frequently. I think that it's part of the way they learn their bodies. I just don't see that it is a horrible sin.
Okay, well, Anonymous, let me respond to that with 2 points. One, you've brought up the adolescent males a few times, and I think that's a fine point to bring up, that while the church says masturbation is wrong, it does understand that people have different levels of culpability. Someone who is going through or has just gone through puberty, they're in a heightened emotional state. They don't have their full rational functions. You know, it's a very confusing, difficult time, puberty, as we all remember. So what the church says in paragraph 2352 of the Catechism, it says that to take pastoral action, you must take into account immaturity, force of habit, conditions of anxiety, or other psychological factors that can reduce or lessen the moral responsibility people have. So even though it's wrong, you can let a teen know, you know, this isn't like necessarily the end of the world or something, that the church understands you're going through something very difficult now. But just because something is a natural tendency, it doesn't follow that we should indulge in it. I mean, many married men would say, you know, my wife hasn't slept with me in over a month, and I have this need for release, not just for self-gratification, but I want to have release with another person. So in order to fully get that release I need, can I have an affair? And most people would say, well, no, you can't do that. So just because we have these powerful desires inside doesn't mean we should indulge them. And I would say that for young people, it's kind of like if you're walking along a beach and you're thirsty and you see no water around, you say, well, I'm just going to drink the ocean water and keep going. It's like, well, it will temporarily parch your thirst, but it's just going to make you worse off. And I think that's the same, especially for adolescents, to say, oh, well, you have this need, engage in this activity, it'll release it. But it's just going to come back with more force, and it's going to teach them that sexuality is for, that genital activity is for meeting their needs, not being a gift of self to another person. And I'd recommend, actually, if there's something good you'd like to look at on this subject, a few different resources. There's a secular group online, and I pardon some of their crudeness, but they're not religious. They're the No FAP Club, FAP, and they're non-religious people who have given up masturbation so they can have healthier interactions with people. There's also a great chapter on this in my friend Layla Miller's book, Raising Chaste Catholic Men, that I would highly recommend. So those are some resources, Anonymous, I would put out there, as well as visiting the website of chastity.com by my friend, or sorry, the Chastity Project by my friend Jason Everett, and our website, chastity.com. So thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Anonymous. Let's see if we can address one more. I was going to say question, but it might be better phrased a concern, because today we're asking, why do you reject Catholic morality? 888-31-TRUTH, the number. So let's go to Philip in Fulton, Missouri. Philip, why do you reject Catholic morality?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Really just a little bit of a reaction. I was recently in Rome and met Pope Benedict, luckily. He blessed our marriage. And I didn't quite catch everything, but from what I understood, there was a discussion on the pro-life movement of, you know, belief that it's from conception through natural death. And if we as Catholics are pushing that as our agenda, then I would be dismissed if we aren't saying that we should always reject capital punishment.
Oh,
So Philip, you're saying that in order to be pro-life, a person must also oppose the death penalty?
Yes.
Okay, well, what do you mean by the term pro-life?
Well, I think it's a movement that I thought was being talked about in the Vatican in the sense that it's from natural conception to natural death. And we, he's talking about the immigrants should be treated, the poor should be treated fairly, and,
sure.
and even the criminal insane, I believe.
Right, but Philip, would you agree, though, that there are cases where Catholics, where a person can morally act to end the life of another person? There are cases where that's okay.
I don't think Jesus would have killed anybody that even killed Mary. If somebody killed Mother Mary in front of Jesus, I don't think Jesus would have killed anyone.
You're telling me Jesus would not have stopped someone from killing his own mother? Why? If he loves his mother, wouldn't he protect her?
You would attempt to protect, but you can only protect in the guise of God's plan. It was not in the plan for Mary to be killed, and it is not, what we have in our world is what God allows to happen.
Well, Philip, are you familiar that St. Paul says in Romans 13:4 that the state is God's servant for good and the state does not bear the sword in vain? So in Romans 13:4, Paul says the state serves God. God allows us to have a state civil authority. And St. Paul says that the state does not bear the sword in vain, which is a reference to punishment and specifically capital punishment. Are you familiar with where St. Paul says that killing can be justified in that case then?
I mean, and God told Saul to kill every woman and child. That's a part of God's plan.
Okay.
But
all right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. So what I'm just going to say is that what the Church teaches, and you can find this in the Catechism, is that we should respect the life of every person. We should not directly kill innocent people, but there can be cases where a person justly convicted of a grave crime, it may be necessary to execute them as a matter of justice or to secure the common good of society. And that's the teaching of the Church, and you can read about that more on our website at catholic.com.
Philip, thank you very much for that call. Stay on the line. If you're on the line, Trent's not going anywhere. We've got another great hour. Why do you reject Catholic morality is our question. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Fantastic calls coming up on in vitro fertilization and what to do when your employer doesn't accept your Catholic morality. All that coming up right after this on Catholic Answers Live.